All right, verse number 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. I guess there could be a lot of reasons for that. A reproof entereth more into a wise man. It's usually the wise man that's even hearing them to begin with. It's hard for a reproof to enter into your heart if you're not hearing one. Amen. It's easy to find churches where you don't hear none. And it's real easy to find households where there's no reproof going on in the house at all. Amen. You say, that's right, Brother Mike. Parents sure are letting their children do a lot of things. I'm not necessarily talking about parents and children, but I mean, we can go there, but I'm more or less talking about men to their wives. Amen. I mean, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, of course, you have to go back and read the first couple of chapters. But the mother has a law, the father has the way that he wants to do things, and in the household, the mother has a law. You know, she gets that from her husband if he's the head of the house. Amen. 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 And, you know, I'm not too sure, but looking back at my own life, it's hard to go back and judge everything, and I don't do that. I thank God for my raising. I'm thankful for the way I was raised. I mean, I can't help but do that because I can't go back and be raised any other way. So I have to be thankful for the level or the quality of raising that I did have. But one thing I did notice was my mother was very vocal about what was right and wrong. And my father wasn't that vocal. I don't know if he felt sorry for us because she was such a disciplinarian, but it just didn't seem like a lot of things was coming from him. And I'll just tell you this right now, I don't know if you got boys or if you got girls, but if you got boys, daddy needs to be at the head of that discipline system for a boy. Amen? Amen. People talking about some cultures have absentee dads. Well, I got news for you. A lot of Christians have absentee dads. Right. Mama's raising the boys while daddy's hunting and fishing and tinkering around in the garage, and I'll let her deal with it. No, daddies need to be present with them boys and let them, and too much discipline from a female for a boy just make him go hog wild. You say, why? Because God didn't fit him to be under the leadership and the rulership of a woman. Amen. It's awful quiet right there, but I'm telling you what, you men need to get your boys and spend some time with them. Speak to them. Explain things to them. Amen? Amen? And let them know that at whatever way it works in your house, let them know that the things that are coming from their mother comes from you first. Amen. Son, when you're obeying her, you're obeying me. Yes, amen. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Amen. Now, I don't know if you can fit this illustration together or not, but when I joined the Marine Corps, they were just now getting to where females were being assertive in the chain of command. And I couldn't tell you how many captain females I walked by and didn't salute. And she'd say, you're saluting the rank, not the person. I said, no, I ain't saluting at all. He said, did you get in trouble for that? Yes. Did you lose any money over that? Yes. But by the time I got 18, I was done with the woman telling me what to do. Oh, Brother Mike, you're so chauvinist. I'm the least chauvinist preacher in the Baptist movement. Amen. Amen. I mean, one of these days, if the Lord leads it, I'll preach you a sermon about what women can do. Matter of fact, I'm writing a book on what women can do. A lot of Baptists think women ought to be at home, shoved in the kitchen somewhere, not doing nothing. That's not what the Bible says a virtuous woman does. Amen. Well, at some point, the devil made an assault on the female in America. There's no question about that. And what Baptists usually do when the devil makes an assault is they go completely and totally extremely to the wrong side of the issue and try to defend a point that doesn't exist. And they take one verse in the Bible that says a woman ought to be a chaste keeper at home, which is true, and make that the end-all, be-all of her life, and it ain't. It's not. That's a verse that says that, and whatever a woman is, she ought to be a chaste keeper at home. If you can't work at the doctor's office and your home, you need to quit down at the doctor's office or grow in your condition. Amen? Broaden your horizons. Do both. But there's a whole chapter back in the Old Testament that tells you what a virtuous woman is. I mean, we're in that book right now, the book of Proverbs. And you got 30 chapters about how dumb men are, and you got one chapter about what a virtuous woman is. I don't think that's fair at all. Chapter 1, a foolish man does this, a foolish man does that. Chapter 2, a foolish man does this, a foolish man does that. 1 through 30 goes just that way. A foolish man is this, a foolish man is that. Chapter 31, a virtuous woman is like this. And she don't spend very much time at home. I think that's unfair. I think there's some female chauvinism going on. I know Solomon kind of favored women, didn't he? Amen. Which confuses me about them, about folks saying he's the wisest man that ever was because he had like a bunch of wives, more than one. I'm not looking for more than one, trying to keep the one I got. Amen. But I ain't trying to get like 7 or 8 or even 700. Amen? But listen, that's what you do. You kind of defend this position. You get this extreme position. Well, the Bible says she'll be in the marketplace and she got her own business, it looks like to me, real estate and all this kind of stuff. Proverbs 31, you ever read that? I'm not a chauvinist, not a chauvinist at all. I think that a woman can do a great job out there in the world and amongst the people of the world and can be a great testimony as well as a great benefit to a household. Some men rather go poor, dirt poor, than to allow their wife to participate in building the house. And if that's the way you call it at your house, you're the boss. You are the boss. But the only point I'm trying to make to you this morning is that a man needs that correct source of authority, and if he doesn't get it while he's young, it's very difficult. I started to say, I don't know. I do know. It's very difficult to get your mind right on who to listen to and who not to listen to once you get to that certain age where you're accountable for yourself. Amen? I could go further on that, but I don't want to. Amen? I'll tell you stuff I don't want to tell you. But at any rate, verse number 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes. I'll tell you this, if you got a little boy, we'll just sum it up by saying this. If you're going to have wise young men in your family, it's going to take a concerted effort from you and your mother. You and your mother. You and your wife, amen. Most men's wives are their mothers. Y'all know that's true? Lord have mercy, I don't know what I'd do without Ruth. Honestly, a lot of times she fills the role of a mother for me. You say, well, Brother Mike, you're pitiful. Well, I might be, but that's the way it is. Amen. I'm pretty happy with the way our children turned out, though. You say, how did they turn out that way? My kids have a mother. Amen. And if you were to see them doing something wrong, if you began to correct them, they would receive the instruction. If you were to correct them, they'd receive the instruction. Now, Reese might give you a little trouble, but just grab him by the lapel and say, boy. Brother Mike, grab someone else's child. Now, I understand the day and time that we live in, but boy, when I was a kid, some of them old men around the church catch us running through the thing here, through the sanctuary, they'd grab you up. What are you doing, boy? Playing at home. This ain't a place to play. A little boy down there always runs and jumps on the pulpit down there. People say he ran up there and jumped and started playing around the pulpit. I said, are you up here to shake my hand? No. I said, well, get off the pulpit then. Amen. 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 Other people's brats. Amen. One of these days I'm going to preach a nice little sermon on other people's brats. Amen. Amen. But I understand because I got one of them brats myself. Three girls ruined me. I'm telling you, them girls, whoop them one time. If I've whooped any of them kids more than 3 times, I don't remember it. And you just tell them to do something and they'll do it. And they're sweet little girls. And I don't know. They might be sinless. I don't know. And I thought, this raising kids stuff is wonderful. Just believe the Bible, whoop them one time, never no more troubles. And then 9 years between Abigail and Reese come along. Whoo. And now I'm paying for all the sins of my youth. Amen. So if y'all could help me with him, just grab him every once in a while and tell him to. I'm getting too old to chase him. Amen. Amen. But at any rate, what you want to do is you want to raise kids that are wise enough to receive a reproof. You don't want to raise one of these sissies that get in the church pulpit and the preacher just says, for all have sinned, and they get offended. Oh, I don't like this kind of church. Well, that's the kind of preaching you need. You're a sinner. Amen. You are a sinner. At least get that across to them, amen? Amen. Now, we can take little divergent tracks and talk about what sin is and which sins are sins and which sins aren't. There's plenty of time to debate that stuff, but at least get it through their head that there is sin and that we are sinners, and you know, at least get them in the ballpark if you want them to play.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that the way? I mean, these fellas playing basketball and stuff after church on Sunday night, I'm apt to play with them once in a while, but it's hard for me to play from over there in my living room. I got to at least get inside the gym before I can participate. Does that make sense to anybody? Well, just get your kids where they're responsive to a little contention between you and them every once in a while. Amen. Stop letting them be your little buddy. Be their buddy. Reese, my little buddy. We have a good time. But I'll go from to Stern real quick. And he knows. He knows what's going on. See his little fat cheeks grinning and go a little bit too far. And then, poor little fella. Poor little fella. I hate it. I hate discipline. I hate this one. I think sometimes I've known some people, I'm not going to mention no names, but I've known some people through the years when I was coming up as a boy, it seemed like they lived. It was like their hobby. Yeah. Discipline was their hobby. They carry spoons and stuff around in their... No. No, Ruth carries a spoon. My mama wasn't nice enough to carry no spoons. She carried a chainsaw and stuff like that. But she was always ready to discipline. And grandmothers, whoo, man, see all these grandkids, these Ryman grandkids and Durham grandkids and stuff running around, how sweet everybody is to a man. I think back to my grandmother, man alive, sit down, be quiet, kids be seen, not heard. I began to wonder if they even wanted to see us. Amen? You ever think that way? Kids be seen and not heard? I don't find that in the Bible nowhere. Do you? Man, make them a part of your life and make it, I mean, they're not, I raised my kids with all this discipline. Why'd they turn out like such? Well, because you were such, you're, what? Got to watch your language. Because you're a jerk. You was a jerk growing up. You want to see it. Put a kid in the corner, be seen, not heard, raise them 18 years like that, and then wonder why they don't want to be around you?
Yeah,
does that make any sense to you? It shouldn't make sense because it don't make sense. It's ridiculous. Well, Brother Mike, the old days and the strictness was, I understand that, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. But a little bit of kindness and affection goes a long way as well. Yeah. Mercy. We love the Lord because he first loved us. You deserve to be in hell with your back broke. And every once in a while, the Lord grabs you over and hugs you, old wretched and vile. The Lord doesn't touch anything wretched and vile. Well, technically, you're clean as a whistle because you're saved by grace. That's your standard. But your state's a little bit different than that. Lord finds you in a terrible state. But because he died for you and because he imputed his righteousness to you and because you're now his son, you're now his son. He'll reach over and grab you and pull you in close and say, well, you sure are a knucklehead. But I sure do love you anyway. Try that with your kids once in a while. Well, Brother Mike, I just believe in whoopings. I know you just believe in whoopings. That's all you believe in. I believe in them too. Whether the state of Delaware believes in them or not, I believe in them. But I just believe if you do that thing correctly, you don't need that many of them. Amen. I'm not talking about something I think. I'm talking about something I've tried, at least for females. I'm still working on this male thing. Amen. 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 But at any rate, let's move on from there. A reproof entereth more into a wise man. Try to make one. Try to make a wise man and a wise young lady. Amen. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. I think I've said this a bunch of times, and if I hadn't, I should have. And of course, we picked up in the middle because I left off in the middle down there in Georgia, and the rest of that, chapter 1 through chapter 17, is being uploaded on sermon audio if you want to get those. But I have said it many times that the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Of course, you understand that, but it's also a book about reaping and sowing. It's a book of consequences. It's a book that just tells you not necessarily how to be a Christian, but it tells you how to be a person. And I think we have a lot of Christians who are trying to be Christians before they've even learned. Some folks have grown up to be 40 and 50 years old doing whatever they wanted to do. Now they're saved, they're trying to be Christians, but they got to go back and do the first works. They got to learn how to be people first. And that's why the Lord always starts people off in a discipleship program. The Lord doesn't start anybody off as pastor. You let a fellow get saved and let him be a pastor within, 10 years of when he got saved, you are messing up. Messing up. And especially if he don't know how to be a person, you have got to teach him how to be a person first. I don't know of any better place to do that than the book of Proverbs. But all in all, the book of Proverbs is a place where you can learn about cause and effect. You can learn about actions and consequences. Now, what I say about being a pastor, I guess you got to go on an individual basis. You might find somebody that can go quick. I mean, Paul goes into missionary places and he wins people to God. And when he leaves, there's a pastor there. I assume that's true. I think you would assume that's true as well. And Paul didn't spend 10 years in a place. But you got to find somebody that knows how to be a person and got some wisdom about them. Amen? I mean, when the Bible gives us the qualifications, which are qualifications, not suggestions, the qualifications to be a pastor, he says he has to rule well his own home, because ruling well his own home translates into taking care of the house of God. So a person has to know what he's doing, amen? And one of the greatest lessons you're ever going to learn in your life is cause and effect, actions and consequences. If you can't learn from those, one of the first steps in all of your development, whether you're 5 or 50, is going, that's my fault. And just getting a practice of it. You and your husband, you and your wife getting an argument at home, just, you're right. But Brother Mike, perhaps I'm the one that's right. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with that on your own. I'm talking about if you wanted to stop the argument. That's what I'm talking about. If you want to keep arguing, go ahead. I'll be a witness at your divorce. Because that's where stuff like that heads, people that can't take responsibility for anything. Well, she did this and he done that. Well, I'm sure you done something along the way. Amen. No, it's not me. That's the kind of person that really complicates their own life. Amen. A lot of times, stuff in our, I think that we have a good household. I think we have had a good household for a long time. Me and Ruth have never had major altercations, but sometimes things happen that I don't agree with or I think should be done differently. But I have to treat my wife like she's a grown-up person able to make her own decisions. Sometimes I look at her and think, why in the world does she do that? Cut it off right there. But from time to time, you have to just sit back and say, well, let me see what goes on here before I jump on every move. Yeah. Amen? And I do that, and I try to do that, and a lot of times it'll come out, oh, that's what she was doing that for. See, I'm no mind reader.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have you ever thought about stepping back and let a kid make a few, now if he's 6 years old, I'm not talking about that. The kid gets 17 or 18. From time to time, I'll start to correct Tori, and then I remember, oh, she's smarter than me. There's always that. But she is still my kid, no matter how smart she is. I might be secretly smart. You'll never know. I'm never going to give you any indication of that, amen? But from time to time, I'll catch myself about to tell her what I think, and then I'll remember she's 18, and she's 19, and she'll be 20 at some point in time, and she's already more than halfway through college for a bachelor's degree. Maybe I'll let her just learn this one on her own. Amen. There's something to that. But at any rate, this is about trial. I keep wanting to say trial and error, but what I really mean is actions and consequences and reaping what you sow. And that's what verse 11 is about. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. When somebody tells you ought to do something and you back up off of that and bite and argue and fuss, that's rebellion.
Right.
Now, what's the right reaction? I don't know. I ain't had very many right reactions. You know, sometimes people tell me I ought to do stuff, and I'm naturally defensive because a lot of people have told me, I wonder if I could be doing some things wrong. I don't know. A lot of preachers have told me, boy, you just don't know what you're doing. And in so many words, usually when I go to a place to preach and there's other preachers there and they're going to do any preaching, there's always about 7 or 8 sermons. It must be a great problem in the land that preachers are preaching too hard. Because if I go to a camp meeting, preachers preach about preaching too hard. I don't know who's doing all that hard preaching, but it must be me. But it kind of wears on you a little bit, and you think, well, am I doing the right thing? You've got to logically think about that stuff, I guess, and pray about what's right and what's wrong. And if the Lord corrects you on some things, sure, you do that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to listen to the Lord. Amen? You have to. But at the end of the day, I keep hearing about people getting right and people changing their ways. And people, well, so I'm going to keep on doing some things the way I believe it ought to be done. But the Bible says an evil man seeketh only rebellion. If you know something's right, you're going to have to rebel against the rebels. Because the rebels have a voice as well. And the rebels said to Elijah, come down. Lester Roloff said, you ought not come down. Amen. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to tell you something that you ought to stop doing or start doing. Well, Brother Mike, I'm 50 years old. Well, you should have known better by now. Amen. Is that clock right? I heard the door crack over there. That usually means it's
10:36.
Oh, okay. Well, I got lots of time. Praise the Lord. I get to say some more things to offend Presbyterians. No. But at any rate, what I'm trying to get across to you is we should be, self-sustaining at 50 years old, but 48, 49, 50, 60, 35, But from time to time, somebody's going to come along and say, now, stop doing it like that. I said, well, I just do what I want to. Well, a cruel messenger is going to come find you. Paul said that there was a possibility that he knows so much about God that the Lord allowed a messenger of Satan to come and put a thorn in his flesh lest he be lifted up with pride.
Yeah.
Amen. My prayer has often been, Lord, I want to learn as much about the Bible as I can, but not as much as Paul knew. Amen. I don't know that much. I want to know enough Bible to still think I'm stupid at the end of the day. Amen? Oh, just, you got to stay humble on your own. Because I'll tell you, one of the chief causes of rebellion is thinking a whole lot of yourself.
Amen.
Well, you can't tell me what to do.
Right.
You can't tell me. But you know, some of the men that are accounted as the best and the most worthy of preachers in our history, whether it be American history or history in a whole or as a whole, is history in a whole. That's high school. History as a whole, the men that are the best men and are the most recognizable men were men who were humble. Amen. People like Martin Luther, who started the quote-unquote Reformation. Martin Luther started the Reformation, and he was a very humble man. He was very committed to his church and very submissive to his church leadership. They said it was this way. The Bible says it's this way. And he was very submissive to where he didn't want to make a move one way or the other. How can I say something against the people that are my leaders? How can I do that? And some people don't have to think twice about that. One thing don't go your way. You talk bad about a man that's led you through dark valleys. That's true. But Martin Luther wasn't that way. God had to hit him with a couple of lightning bolts to get light a fire under him, so to speak. Amen. Well, I would say at the end of the day, that's not a bad thing if you hesitate. Well, I tell you what, I'm 49 and my mother is 71. And I'd be very hesitant to give her very many thoughts about anything as it pertains to life. Well, Mama, I think you're doing that wrong. Not because I think she could still whoop me. She probably would probably try. And if she tried, I'd probably let her. Amen? But be very hesitant to do something like that. Amen. I'd be very hesitant to tell Brother Allen, you're doing this wrong. You say, why? Because he's my pastor. I'm not his pastor. But some people don't have any scruples about that at all. I don't like the way you're doing it. Well, you've never done it. Amen. You say, well, Brother Mike, you're just saying that because he's your father-in-law. I'm talking about any pastor anywhere. I was sitting down in the revival meeting. Brother Nathan is the pastor of a church. I used to be a pastor. I felt like I could have got away with anything during the past week. And I just sat there and said, keep on going. I thought once the whole week, because I trained him pretty good. I thought once, boy, I wouldn't have done that. But I didn't say nothing. You say, why? Because he's the pastor. He's the boss. That was one of my points during the week. I pointed at Nathan and I said, he's your boss. Amen. But that church is a little bit different. You can talk to them. They ain't a bunch of sissies and Presbyterians in there. You say, how'd they get so tough? I talked to them just like that for 10 years. Amen. To some of the group, I said, how many in here are not preachers? You know, 3/4 of the congregation raised your hand. I said, I'm your boss. No, they didn't react like that. They know that. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. Who's it talking about? Them that preach the word of God to you. Well, I don't think cruel messenger. That's what that verse is talking about. I'm talking about pastoral authority. How many preachers you got in here? Everybody's afraid to raise their hand. 3 or 4 preachers in here. They're your boss if you're not a preacher. They just don't know it yet. They don't have the ordination maybe to exercise that authority, but when they get up here and preach, you're to listen. He always preaches bad about us. Well, have a little grace. You have the same grace you're wanting people to have on you. Amen. That's what Ahab said about Micaiah. He never preaches anything good about me. Well, get some things that are good about you. Amen. And there are some good things. Man, this church has got a lot of people that does a lot of things. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the amount of people who are active and participate and all that stuff. But you know what the Bible says at the end of the day? At the end of the day, the Bible says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. A lot of the good stuff you're doing, it has insincere or and even perhaps wicked motivations behind it. I'm going to do this so everybody will see me do it. Well, keep doing it. Just change your attitude. That's why when nobody recognizes you for doing it, you threaten to quit the church. Do you know that's true? I get some eyes looking at me now like I might not be telling you the truth, but I'm telling you the truth. Whenever you're doing a thing, well, you know, I've caught myself preaching just plumb out of the spectrum of anything a person ought to be preaching just to be preaching. This is a need, and I'm going to just preach this and address. Oh, man, go pray. It doesn't really matter, you know. I've caught myself preaching, trying to preach good. Who don't want to preach a good sermon? I'd rather preach good sermons than bad, wouldn't you? But, you know, I've caught myself in a rut of 2 or 3 weeks just trying to come up with a better sermon. We'll get the best title and get the best points. And well, when I would do good, evil's present with me. I didn't say wickedness. I didn't say the evil and wickedness, two different things. Amen. Well, rebellion and pride, thinking you deserve, boy, that'll cause you to be a big rebel. You know what the world's full of today? It's full of rebels. You go out and say, have a gospel tract. I don't need that. That's rebellion. Amen. You do need it. Yeah. You don't let them get away with, I don't need that junk. Get it in their hand and make them throw it on the ground.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when we'd go street preaching in folks, and, you know, I'd try to get them to get it in their hand when they'd throw it on the ground, I'd see one of the folks, you know, try to reach down and pick it up. Don't pick it up. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it on the ground. He said, but people are going to walk and step on it. That you didn't throw it there.
Amen.
That rebel threw it there.
Yeah.
And as far as God's concerned, that thing will be laying in that gutter on Judgment Day. Even if the Department of Transportation comes along and sweeps it into the dustbin of history, when that fellow gets before the judgment, it'll be just as though that track was still laying in the gutter. That man will say, oh, but I love you, Lord. And the Lord will direct his attention right back down to that sidewalk where he threw that track down.
Right.
Or where they got up in a church meeting mad because a preacher preached on one of their little pet sins. And, I mean, is it that bad, really?
Yeah.
Is it that bad when somebody tiptoes across your backyard and says something minor about, you know, how much television you watch or something like that? Is it that bad? Or does it hurt your conscience that bad that you got to get mad over it?
Yeah,
no. I'll give you a list of all the television programs I watch, and you just get up here and preach all over them. It must be, you know, I get mad about the things that my soul depends on. You mess with some of the doctrines, I'll get angry.
Amen.
You preach a bunch of lies, and I'll get up and correct you over it, because that's the kind of stuff I get mad about.
Amen.
If you used to get up and say, you know, Andy Griffith is such a bad guy, but yeah, he is. I should watch less. And I do watch less. Matter of fact, amen, Leave It to Beaver. Yeah, I probably should. I spend too much emotion on Leave It to Beaver. I caught myself crying. Whatever that woman's name on Leave It to Beaver, she's telling her little kids, now you ought not lie. God sees you when you lie. Like millions of lost people saw that. Millions of thieves saw that. I was glad about it. Cried a little bit. Amen. Brothers love each other and take care of, oh, ain't that cute? You can preach on that all you want to. And I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right. Ward Cleaver was a Methodist and probably shouldn't be watching it. He was a Methodist pastor. Did you know that? Ward Cleaver. Heretic. But see, my soul don't depend on that stuff. I'm not cleaving to that stuff like you are the gambling table. But you preach on stuff like that, you see people get mad, you know instantaneously their soul has claws in that stuff and chains hooked to that stuff. And they forsake their family for it. You know they'll fight you and get mad at the preacher over it.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Men sit around in the dark and watch that stuff on the internet, and they'd leave their wives over that. And so when you say something in here, but oh, you're going to get a reputation of being too hard. I'm not a hard preacher. I'm not a hard preacher. Matter of fact, I think I'm one of the nicest preachers that there is. Really. I think. Matter of fact, sometimes I think I'm too nice. I start being mean. Start treating people like junk. They'll love you. Did you know that? My soul. But at any rate, that's not hard preaching to tell somebody something's going, hey, that rattlesnake's going to bite you and kill you there. You're so mean.
Yeah, right.
How dare you speak bad about that rattlesnake? He never done nothing to nobody. Yeah. Well, if he ain't, he never got the chance.
That's right.
Yeah.
How dare you say something about these preachers that are preaching false doctrines? I mean, can't you just leave people alone? No, because they might bite you.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And as dumb as you are, they can lead you away real easy. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. You can't get a handle on the Bible doctrines with as much time you spend at the gym and spend at the. Oh, I went to a coffee. What do you call them things? It's not Starbucks. It was a cafe. A cafe where they sell coffee. And I didn't get no coffee because I don't drink coffee. I got one of them smoothies. and a donut that was about this long. Amen. It was good, but I'm never going back. You say, why? That ain't my style. Amen. If they'd have had some football players in there to stink up the joint, it might have been better. But you know, people spend thousands of dollars and many, many hours in the coffee shop with their little hooked up to the Wi-Fi. Yeah. Yes, sir. And their time. So you spend all your time doing that, and you're not learning much Bible. Some of these guys come on. See, it's in that verse right there. Oh, I knew my pastor was wrong about something. I've been mad at him all these years. Now I know what's for. Give you an opportunity to get out of here and go to a dead old church. Yes, sir. Oh, if I had more time to spend on that. Verse number 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Be better for you to run into a big old bear and let it chew you up than to meet a fool in his folly. I think I'll save some of this for next week, because there's a lot of stuff. Like, you'd be better off meeting a bear and letting it tear you to pieces than listen to some preachers preach. Hey, I realize that some things that I say are could possibly be offensive to somebody whose soul is entrenched in darkness. I realize that. So I like to edge it sometimes with a little humor, but I can promise you I'm not sitting around writing jokes. Let me see how this works out. Sometimes stuff just comes off funny, and I'm glad it does, because it relaxes the tension that I definitely see building up on your faces from time to time. But I'm not here to be your court jester and make you laugh. Amen. It's not my job. I'm not trying to be funny. Amen. Matter of fact, the more you try to be funny, the less funny you are, the way I see it, the way I understand things. But God didn't call me to be funny. Even though a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, I'm glad you laugh. I'm glad we have a church where we can laugh and cut up and have fun, stuff like that. Glad about that. But the preacher's job ain't to be a fool, to entertain you. Oh, Brother Mike, we're fools for Christ's sake. No, that's the world thinking that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is foolish. Yeah. Amen? Amen? He's not talking about a bunch of court jesters. Amen? Amen. I have experience as a pastor preaching four or five very serious messages in a row. What's wrong with you, Brother Mike? You mad? Yeah. You didn't tell no jokes. I mean, you're usually a pretty funny guy. Well, I'm going to watch that from now on. Yeah. That was my response to him. If you get to the place where you're coming just to hear something funny, amen. So something correct is not being ministered. Amen? 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 It's better to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than to meet a fool in his folly. That's what the Bible says. And then there's so many other things that could be connected with that. Maybe we'll look at those things a little bit next week about different kind of fools that there are. Amen? Like some of you, my wife met a fool who has specific follies. Like if it fits on an AR pistol, or on an AR rifle, or on a Glock 9mm. Oh, I got to have that gadget. And you know, I like to buy gadgets and stuff for guns, and I never found a gun that really make a gadget that really makes it very much better than it was to begin with. It's like buying a hot rod car and then putting those fake louvers on the side, like those air vents. That doesn't help. So it makes it look cooler. No, it don't. It makes it look cheaper. But my wife is married, in that regard, is married to a fool because, hey, take my money. Amen? And I know there's some in your backyard or your shed that you do the same thing about. And it's just, you say, what's it like? Me getting into a gun store is like a bear breaking into my house and breaking stuff. And then say, well, we got the money for this. No. You'd love to see Ruth's face when I say, what'd you spend the money on? Mm-hmm. It was me. I go to the store and see a brand new, this is the latest hiking boot. Well, I've got to have that. Forget the fact that my other seven pair of hiking boots haven't even got the tread worn on them yet. We come home with this $170 pair of boots. Look at these. put them in the shelf where they're going to stay. Ruth gets up early on a Saturday morning and goes to the Goodwill and comes back. She goes, look at these. How much you spend on that? She goes, $7. You need to be careful, darling. You say, what's that? Foolishness. That's foolishness on my part. But what's the bank account? Oh, she look it up. It's such and such. What? That's like that's an assault. That could be considered an assault on a family. Yeah. You got to buy groceries and stuff like that. So I try on my good days, my good weeks, I try to wait until after the groceries are bought and after the insurance is paid. And every once in a while still, though, I'll come home with some goodie. Look what I got. I try to include her, too. Hey, you want to see this? And she's going, no. No, matter of fact, I don't. Oh, you'll like them. If the ladies were honest, they'd be going. Amen. A lot of men like that, I'm sure. But that's a fool in his folly. It really is. Darling, I really needed this shotgun. There's 17 shotguns in the closet. You need, there's this specific breed of quail that can only be shot with this shotgun. Have you ladies ever heard that? A story along those lines? I'm the worst liar. Oh, yeah, okay, good. I'm not the only liar in the bunch. There's at least one other. Amen. I appreciate that honesty. You're my new friend. Amen. Amen. But fooling is folly. Amen. Just the stuff, a fool doing the things that really don't have to be done, folly. Amen? There's some of us here, ain't there? Amen. It's like a bear attacking your family. Is that a good mental picture? Amen. Amen. Then we'll leave it with that. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and grace. Help us this morning. Lord, I'm glad to be back here. Different environment. Truly it is a different culture here than what we've been all week, but I'm thankful to be here. Glad that we're here, and I pray that you'd help us, God, as we are here to do what we've been called to do. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for these people that have come here this morning, God. And Lord, I preach as I believe I ought to preach, but I really do appreciate these folks, God, and I really am glad that they're here. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless them for being here, a special blessing for being here this morning. And I pray, God, that our numbers would grow in the Sunday school class as we go forward. And I thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray it. Amen. All right, take a little break.